about it, we have a very strange practice on Rosh Hashanah. One that is very, very hard to understand. In the Torah Shabbat B'Ksav, we find three references to Shofar. Two in reference to Rosh Hashanah, one in reference to Yom Kippur. Chazal learned that Kol HaTkiyos of Chodesh Tishrei are one thing, meaning to say that on Rosh Hashanah there are three sets of Tkiyos, three truths, and in Yom Kippur there are. Yom Kippur, as we know, is confined to Yom Kippur Shal Yodgol. That's only blow shofar on Yom Kippur. That also needs three. Rosh Hashanah needs three. Chazal derive from the Torah that every time there's a truah, there's a tkiyah before, tkiyah afterwards. So the chayr, tkiyah shofar should be a very simple parsha. We should ever came and get up, and in about 10 seconds, and lock off the first 9 kailas. Tkiyah, shvarim, tkiyah, 3 times, and that's it. Yaitzir mitzvah. That's it. I'm a davar musaf. But that's not what happens. So I'm principally concerned at this point just what happens, not why we have tkiyas, which one has to. That's all. Oh, I have tkiyas before. The Lord deals with that. Okay, fine. So we'd come out. Instead of 9, we'll have 18. Okay. We'll say you don't got more. But all of a sudden, we have before the Shmon Esrei, we have 30. Why do we have 30? Well, we have three different types of shvarms that we blow. We blow shvarms that we call shvarms. Shvarms that we call true. Perhaps we more appropriately you should say like this. We have three types of true. We have truas that we call truas that we call shvarm, and truas that we call shvarm true. Now, how did this come about? And especially a mitzvah which is relevant in all of Klal Yisrael, every single year. Every year is Rosh Hashanah. So how could we come? We don't know how to blow shofar. We don't know how to blow shofar. Well, that's Rabbi Kaveh. In case everybody else forgot, some people probably remember what happened last year. He certainly remembers. If you don't know, there's some other shuls. We'll make a convention of all the Dvalet Kaveh. We'll find out what, you know, what's happening. So how did we arrive at this point in time that we don't know what a shvarm is? Very strange. It's true that we have some other mitzvahs where we arrived at a similar point, but at least there we understand how this came about. Tefillin, we have a machlokes, the Rashi and the Reino Tam. What's the proper order of the tefillin? So at least we understand how that came about, because in the time of the Rishonim, the average frum person did not wear tefillin. Tefillin was held was for the super pious. The regular frum person didn't wear tefillin. In the Smag writes, I believe in Mitzvah Gimel of the Mitzvah Asay, that I went around from town to town and telling people that you have to wear tefillin. This is not just for the super pious. It's for the regular Jew too. It says, because of me, thousands of people started to wear tefillin. So, okay, so we understand if you're in a context where nobody's doing a mitzvah, we start to do a mitzvah again, so it's long buried in the dust in the cobwebs of history, how to run this mitzvah. Why do we have problems with chaylus? For that reason, because it lapsed, or whatever it is, 1500 years, 1800 years. So when we revive a mitzvah, it's hard to know exactly what are the details. We don't have a certain. Fine. When the Vilna Gaon insisted that they started to read again the Vim from Klafet Aftaris, and this became the Mesir and Lita, but it took a while to straighten out how to write the Nevi'im. There were mistakes made. The Rashash points out, the Rashash lived in Vilna in the mid-19th century. And he writes, I looked at some Nevi'im and I found a very strange thing. The halacha is that in between each one Navi to the next, you leave at least four lines blank. He says, well, surprisingly, the ones that I saw, he says, after Shmuel Aleph and after Melachim Aleph, they had four lines empty. He says, there's no basis in the Jewish religion for this. This was something created outside the Jewish religion. As they printed the Bible, the creation of Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis, Melachim Aleph, Melachim Beis. But Chazal count each of these as one sefer. So, I looked in the Revi'im that we have presently. We don't have this. Over time, you know, people, we do things, we revive them, they're critiqued by Talmidei Chachamim, and we shake them out, and we finally get them, you know, after a while, we get them straight.
The Aleppo doesn't have it either.
What?
The Aleppo Codex.
No, there's no such thing.
But those in might be a side thing, but those in Europe, what did they base it? They must have had a basis.
No, the printers took the Tanakh and they printed it. They wrote it up.
The way they want.
Whatever, they wrote it up the way it was printed.
Yeah.
The first printing, as you know, of the Bible was not from, was from non-Jews. I mean, there used to be, I can't tell you today, but there used to be pretty big Bible scholars. A guy comes to my house one Shabbos, from a guy. He was someplace at an auction or something like this, and he bought a sefer. He had no idea, it was all in Hebrew. He brought it to me to look at it. So what was it? It was a concordance in Hebrew. Who actually printed this concordance? It was printed by a galach. Centuries ago. He was, you know, obviously an avid student of the Bible, so to the extent even that he wrote his own concordance, published it. But, so mitzvahs are hard to revive. Mitzvahs that we don't do. We're going to open the Beis Hamikdash and start bringing the Kabbalah. It's not going to be so easy. We're not used to doing it. But, how is it shofar? Every year we blow shofar. So how did we arrive at this? Very perplexing. The Gemara relates, Iskin Rav Avuha b'Kesari. Rav Avuha apparently was the Rav of Kesari, and he instituted Kiyo Shloish Shvarim Trua. Kiyo Shloish Shvarim Trua Tkiyo. So he had three things. He had a tkiyo, three times apparently. Tkiyo, three times, shvarim trua, three times, tkiyo, three times. That seems to be the simple pshat in the Gemara of what he did. So now the Gemara wants to know what exactly happened to him. So the Gemara says the following. Moravshach. Iyilula yalil. If it's the Alila, which is the sound like the wailing sound of the Trua, so he should have made Taratz. And if it's the moaning sound, then he should have made Kia three Shvarams and a Tkia. In other words, three times that system. If Mesapkale Ginuche Gonach, so the Gemara said it must be that he didn't know which is the right one. Is maskla ravir duma yilula hava become mafsik shloisha shvorm ben trua litkia? So maybe it is the trua and the shvorm are hefsik. So the Gemara says the hoder of it kia trua kia. So he did all the very types. Is maskla ravir duma ginuche hava become mafsik a trua ben shvorm litkia? So the Gemara explains the Hodor of Tashat. In other words, when it said he made three Tkiyah Shvorim through Tkiyahs, he just didn't make three Tashrats. What he actually meant, according to the Gemara's final, is he made all the permutations. In other words, three Tashrats, three Tashats, and three Tarats. That's what comes out. Elo, Rabbahu my Iskin, I Ginuch Gona Choavde, I Yilula Yogi. So why did he make this? So why did he come up with Tashrats for? If it's one, we don't know which it is. If it's moans or sighs, or rather sighs or wailing. So he had Tashat and Tarat. So why did he make up Tashrat for? So the Gemara says, Masapka they do Magona for Yolo. Maybe it's both of them together. If he had a possibility that it's both together, so why is he happy with Shvarim Trua? Maybe it's Trua Shvarim. Maybe he got it backwards. So the Gemara says, "Dilmat Tia Kia Trua Shloisha Shvorim Tkiya." In other words, you have the Trua, then the three Shvorims, and then the Tkiya. Maybe the line is supposed to run in that fashion. Shloisha Shvarim with Kiyah. So again, so the Gemara started over. Let's go. So we had like this. He had Kiyah, three Shvarim, and a Teruah, and a Tkiyah. That was what Rav Avuhu did. So the Gemara wants to know what exactly was the nature of these three Shvarim. If they were Shvarim, let them be Shvarim. If they were Teruahs, let them be Teruahs. What did he make Shvarim Teruahs for? And if they were one of those and he made Shvarim Teruahs, they wouldn't be good. So the Gemara said he actually made three types of the three Shvarim. And he made three shvarms with a truah, three shvarms by themselves, three shvarms, three truahs without a shvarm. V'duma, so the Gemara said hello. So what did he do? Yochi levin ami ipchut kia truah shloisha shvarm tkiya. Tkiya, in other words, tkiya truah shloisha shvarm. Then they do the three shvarms, and then do tkiya. Duma yolul v'gonach. So maybe that's the way it goes. So the Gemara says, "Stomach of Musa, ki misra beinish milsa." If something terrible occurs to a person, "Bereisha gonach b'hadi yolo." First he moans and then he wails. So on May Law, that he wasn't considered it. So in other words, so what was his takana? He made a tkiya. He made three shvarms, a truah, and a tkiya. And the Gemara said he made them in all the permutations: tkiya, three shvarms, a tkiya, three. Tkiya, I guess three truas at a tkiya, and tkiya, three shvarms at a truah at a tkiya. They made three types of lots. So good. So the Gemara says, apparently, we're not so sure what the shvarm was, and that's how we came to third. But that still is very perplexing. How could it conceivably be that we don't know? So we'll go to the Rosh. There's a very, very interesting response of Rav Haigon. And Rav Haigon gives a very interesting spin to Rav Avuhu. And it's interesting, the Rosh does not bring a dissenting view on this. The Rosh is apparently quite happy to accept the view of Rav Haigon. Follow. Paragraph E. Yud. Chosa Rav Haigon Mitshula. So, what was the Shaila that they wrote? The Kobra Sano quotes the Shaila. Al Shanishalo. The question that they asked Rav Haigon was. That's it. They went to shul for thousands of years. Rav Avuhu was an Amir. So he lived, let's say, approximately 1800 years ago, 1700 years ago, something like that. And until this time, right, nobody was Yotze Tkiya Shofar. I mean, that's pretty heady stuff to come along and say, listen, Rabbi Yisai, I hate to break it to you, but tefillin after three white dots on them. You know, I don't know what your fathers did and your grandfathers did. I don't know what your rebbeim told you, but tefillin have to have three white dots. So come tomorrow, we're going to put on three white dots, and from that one, we're going to have tefillin with three white dots. That's so the Zoya and Parshas Vayakel. That's the way to do it. Listen, what do you think? After 4,000 years of putting on tefillin, you got to teach us what tefillin are? So what happened? Rav Avuhu came along, and he decided Iskin Rav Avuhu beKesari. Rav Avuhu in Kesari. It doesn't even say the rest of Eretz Yisrael did this. Just his town. In his town, he made it, he instituted it. So I guess the rest of the Klal Yisrael took him another 5,000 years to catch up to the way he entered the Yeshayfa. It's a very strange thing. It's
not my focus. Not my focus,
no other. The Gemara doesn't bring. The Gemara cites him without any other view. So what came before him? What came? What took place here? What story is this? It's Kosov Rav Haigon B'tshuva. Al Tachshavu, don't think, Ki Noflo B'mei Rav Avuhu Sofik B'dovazen. Don't think that suddenly that Rav Avuhu woke up and said, oh gee, you know, we don't know how to blow Shofar. You know, what Pasha we're reading the Shabbos on? Are you sure it's in Tzavim Vayelech? Maybe it's supposed to be Lech Lecha this week. You know, are you sure, Rani? The Luach says, look, maybe the Luach's also wrong, you know. Rabbi Obam said so. So listen, maybe he's also wrong. What are we supposed to do? They got the same luach, yeah. Oh, so He says, don't think, Rabbi Haigelin said, that Kinof the Bavarian was Sophic Bidovazet, that suddenly they didn't know how to blow Shofar. They knew how to blow Shofar. Sharim Mishnayas Kedumas. There are early Mishnayas. Achas Oimre Sholosh Yvovus, Achas Amer Sholosh Shvorim. Become Rabbi Abaho, please. That these Mishnayas themselves debated at this point. Says, you want to know what took place? What was the practice of Klal Yisrael over all the generations? He says, I'll tell you. Some made truas. And other communities, they blew, you know, they blew shvorms. In Chassidish, a part of town, they had one. The Yekis had another one, you know. You know what he says? You want to know the truth? He says, "Eilu ve'eilu yoytzin yidechos." Everybody was yoytzin. The Rambam says, "Why? Kishvorim kveidim truahim. The shvorim are a true. The yevavos kalas truahim, and they're also a true." Oh, voyadovra nira kichaluka. The problem was that it looked like there was a wide-ranging divergence of opinion in Klal Yisrael. I would be shayda chalukah. I mean, you can imagine. What would you say now? You know, you came, you moved here from Washington Heights. You came from a Borough Park, and each guy's going to shy up. I don't know. I'm diving with Davis and my family. We never heard such kiss like you have. And we tell you blow kiss like that. I never heard of such thing. But you know, look at all the machloikas that we have. When the two different parts of the world met up, the people that stand by Kiddush and the people that sit by Kiddush, you know, we can't get this problem, you know, which, you know, there's some measure of halachic basis for it, but it's not from the world's biggest issues. So now we're going to come to Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, and each part of town is going to have a different way that we blow. So it appears nira kechaluka afa bishayna chaluka. And it appears there's a divergence. Behena Tanoim, Kamosha Amaru Lamaila, Halolu the Tanoim, as I said above, Halolu Shainim Shir, Trua Gesholosh Yivolos, or Halolu Shainim Shir, Trua Gesholosh Shvorim. So some had Truas and some had Shvorim among the Tanoim. Elu Mishnosen Kiminhogam. These people recorded their minute, and that's what they taught. Ve'elu Mishnosen Kiminhogam. These people recorded what they did in their communities. When Abaya said that they argue, says, get this straight, he says, Velaf Plukte. This is not a machloikus. It's not a machloikus. Shehu matim elo as elo, that these groups say the other ones are wrong and they're not yaitse. No one had such an opinion. Elamar kiasri. There just was a divergence of how it was done, you know. One place to put the talus over the head, one place they didn't put the talus over the head, but everybody had a talus, and everybody's yaitzim is just tzitzis. Bachachomim shel halolu moidimim, and the respective talmidei chachomim of each community admit ki shvorim truahim, shvorim is a trua, bachachomim shel halolu moidim ki yivov is truahim. So they say a shvorim is a trua, and a trua is a, everything is trua, shvorim is trua, it's all the same. There's no disagreement about that. So what did Rav Avuhu now come to do? So everyone was fine. So what did Rav Avuhu have to make a takana? Rav Avuhu was a yekka. Kashabar Rav Avuhu rolled the sack in takana. He decided this is not a way to run a religion. Everybody should do the mitzvah the same way. And it shouldn't be in a fashion where the unlettered and unlearned will think that there's a machlokes about this. So therefore, he had to institute all the varied possibilities so that he covered all his bases. In other words, basically he said, we'll give credence to every possibility. So to give credence to every possibility and every conceivable view that there could be, so he blew shofar in all three ways. Now apparently, I guess you have to assume that he said it's possible that some could argue that the ultimate way to do it is to do the shvorim truah, both together. You know, he held the yaitzah with either one. But maybe there'll be some people that say you need both. Since we have two traditions, maybe you have to combine those traditions. Maybe that's what it. So apparently he held the yaitzah with all the ways. But to make uniformity of practice, so he created Iskin Ramavua B'Kesari. So he's the one that started this. How and eventually it spread to encompass all of us, that's a story veiled in history. But the point of Ramavua was not to create some new type of mitzvah which wasn't done before. And the Korban Asana spells this out. Why Mesapka the Dimu Ginucha Yal Pirish Tav Mesapka the about the terms of the Shvarm Teruah Shema Yesh Minik Boilam Shoisin Teruah Gonach V'Yolo. Maybe there's such a minik, because the Gemara said there was something that did, it was a Mishnah that talked about Shvarms and a Mishnah that talked about Teruahs. And therefore Huvu Machnev L'Chol Amin Hogin, and he wanted to get everything under one house. Whatever you like, you have it here. We're all the second Dakono Shiyu Ko Yisrael Oysen Maisa Echad. Everyone will do one thing. You can't go to the Yankees and tell them to stop doing what they're doing. If you have a little, some good fortune, maybe you'll get them to add what the rest of the people is for the sake of having a uniform religion. But to get them to stop what they're doing until now, that's not going to happen. So Rav Avuhu did not attempt to stop anyone from doing what they're doing and make uniformity. We're all going to do one of them. Now, whatever you're used to doing, you'll go on doing. You're just going to make a couple of add-ons. Kamosha of course and Rabbeinu b'shem Chubas from Hai B'Samach. So that's his assumption. His assumption is because he was concerned that there may be some community where they actually did this.
Still ended up with differences. Owing the silent shimon yesterday, not blowing.
Well, we wound up with 100 final
ones. I'll get you, but those are not, but at least the mitzvah is relatively the same. Oh, you do it here, you do it there. Listen. We just can't. Yes, we all do 100 kailas, and basically everybody holds the yaitzi with however any all the other people blow. You know,
Did Rav Avuhu have 100 kailas?
No, 100 kailas.
That's not enough.
100 kailas. It goes like this. He probably had 60 kailas. That's all. If you want to learn with the you assume that you have shofar blowing in the silent Shmon Esrei, so then he could have had 90, but 100 he didn't have. That's a whole story in its own right.
Why did you have 60?
30 was, because the Gemara said that they instituted to blow the yeshiva and to blow with the brachas. So that the Gemara talked about already. So in the Gemara's time, the Ordin Rav Avuhu had 60. Now, if you held from Nusach Sfarad, you would have had a reason to go to 90. I'm not so sure in the ones that didn't blow in the silent Shmon Esrei how they got to 100.
Well, they did do it by after Shmon Esrei,
like we do.
But I'm not sure why they went to 100. I don't know.
Oh, why they went?
Yeah, yeah. Once they were at 90, they went from 90 to 100, I could understand. To go from 60 to 100, I'm not so sure why that would have taken place. The source that they bring is really is an indirect source. The source that they cite is that the mother of Sisera cried 100 times waiting, you know, for Sisera. She cried 100 times. So the question is, what do we learn? I mean, this is one of the saintly figures that we should learn from her practices. I mean, you read in the Novi, in Shoftim, you'll see what a character she was. How did they attempt to assuage her anxiety when the day that sister went off and he didn't return? Right? He's busy ravaging his enemies in all types of ways. This was, you know, that's how don't worry, your Zindel is busy. He has a few more people to murder before he comes home today. So, don't, you know, that's all right, you know. So, you can see what her character was. So, the Pshat is, what do we learn from her? So, I think the Pshat is, although she cried from what? Because the Midas HaDin afflicted her. Sister died. So, she wailed. So, what we're saying is that Shofar is on Yom HaDin. So what we're saying in effect is that, you know, 100 kailas is the response, you know, to cry so incessantly over the possibility of being afflicted by Midas HaDin. So that's where we went up to 100.
The old question is, why must we learn that from non-Jew?
As Chazal often say, the emes we learn from whoever it comes.
Or maybe it's, if she did it, we certainly have to do it at least.
Whatever, but the emes we learn from whoever, you know, it's not a religious teaching of ours, it's an observation that Chazal made. From that observation, so we reach the conclusion what our reaction has to be to the possibility Chalila being afflicted by the Midas HaDin. So now we understand what took place. It's, Chachamim over the Doris were easygoing about it. They had no reason to be up in arms because everybody held that everybody else is Yotze. So, you know, it's this way, that way, the other way. They held the differences were not material. Rav Avu at his time decided that it's time, you know, to put an end to this practice. We don't know why, but it could be that he started to have people from all the varied communities. I mean, that would be a logical reason to do it. And why it happened in the one town and not all over. You know, the Rav came in. I spoke to a Rav. So he's a Rav as far as the Shekil on the west coast. But he's the only shul in town. There's no other shul. So the Ashkenazi from people also daven in this shul. Now, what's interesting, in the Minhagim, the Sfardim have slichas from Rosh Chodesh El, but they don't blow shofar. We have slichas only right before Rosh Hashanah, but we blow shofar the whole Elul. So the agreement in the shul is that the Ashkenazim can blow shofar, you know, if the Shachar sends, you know, to be Yitzhak Minuk. What? I don't know if they come or not. I'm sure the shul says slichas, but the Ashkenazim show up, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's both by name for Olsen. But they don't say it without.
So it could be that was the motive. The Gemara doesn't tell us why. One logical reason to do such a thing is you got a migration of people from different places, and it was a good way to keep the peace, just to make a uniform practice. So that's the type of thing you suspect, you know, in Jewish history it would make a lot of sense. But our kolponim, the Rosh tells us that we yotze with all the possibilities. He was a very different. We can understand perhaps that's why how we blow the kailas by chazaras and shatz. We have the most machmerdik of you, what we do. Why? Because we say that everyone agrees. You need just three, one line. So we say, we don't know which the one line is, so we do a tashrat, a tashat, and a tarat. The Am in Hogam, they just did tashrat. One tashrat by each time in the Chazaras HaShatz, that's it. And they said, they're not, you know, but they're not going to worry about that it's a hefsik from one to the other. It's, in other words, Be'i talking because the reason is, because really it's all true. So this way, that way, together, it's all true, so it can't be a hefsik. Yes, apparently the way some held that even within Rav Avu it's this one or that one, or maybe it's conceivable it could be a hefsek and a shvorm true. But all this held, maybe there was, you know, the chatchila he wanted to do it that way, maybe for the reasons that Rav Hai said, but lemaisa the shvorm it's all true, and maybe there is no hefsek and a tashrat is enough. So when the chazaras hashatz, they blew one line of tashrat and they sat down. So this is a little bit the history of how we come to have the Tkiyas Shofar the way we do. Now, there's another very interesting thing which comes about from this. And if we already have three sets, Tashrats, Tashats, Tarats, and we want to say, okay, we'll give you every format, whatever your cup of tea is, you know, we have it here. So if that's the case, so why did we have this? For example, we finished the Tashrats with the Tekiah. So why do we blow another Tekiah to start the Tashrats? After the final Tekiah of the Tashrats, we should blow a Tekiah, a Shvarim, and then a Tekiah. And say, listen, if the Tashrats were a real deal, so we eat it with the first part. If they weren't the real deal, so let this be the first Tekiah of the next one. Now, what did we have to, you know, we could have add on a whole bunch of Tekiahs for. You know, every time we go from one set to the next, we could have knocked off at the end of the first set, the end of the second set, we could have knocked off from every round two Tekiahs. So if we add up all the rounds, we have two by the beginning, and six during Shemoneh Esrei is eight. And after that, another two rounds, so we knock off about 10 Koilas. So Lama lo? So we'll blow 90 instead of 100. So this is very interesting. The Rishonim took up this issue. Quite all the quotes of many of the commentaries. Tekiah Rishonah de Tashat, first Tekiah and Tashat, Lomali, what do I need it for? The Kevich Rumut Neasophic, if it's for real, each one is real, so good, I need a whole line for each one that I understand. But since we only do it because we don't know what's right, Im Kein Mimon of Shach, Im Oikar Hu Tashrat, if the main thing is the Tashrat, Arei Kvar Yotze, you finished already, so who cares what you do afterwards? So let it be the beginning of the Tashats. Same thing, we finish the Im Waikar Tashat. So what happened? You look puzzled, Rav. What? No, Tashrat first, always first. No. He says the reason for this is because we were afraid to make this a normative practice because then we would introduce the possibility of a mistake. They'll say, oh, you don't need a tekiah before the true or a tekiah before the shvar. They won't realize that we're letting it do, you know, an either or. You know, double duty it can't do, but either or it could do. So they won't realize this. So they'll come to think that by Tashat and Tarat, you really don't need a Tekiah before. So when they blow separately, they'll just blow a Trua and a Tekiah. They won't bother to put a Tekiah at the beginning. This is Tosfos. But Oyit, the Lachat Chila, this quotes the Rosh. Kevin Shekivna, the Tekiah Shachar, a Trua, and Nochel Lechoshel, the Tekiah Shekoydim, a Trua. Since it's an ending Tekiah, it should not, the Lachat Chila, be used for a beginning. Tekiah. In other words, apparently, it's, you know, all the tekiahs are not modular parts. You just can't plug them in for each other. An end tekiah and a beginning tekiah have some difference between them. So therefore, at least the chatchila, you shouldn't end it, use it for both. V'ayit, the lefoneinu yisbar. Oh, yes, another reason. Tekiah de tashrat, arucho mishal tashat, mishal tashat, mishal tarat. This he quotes a Taz which I don't understand. He says that the Tekiah, which is true, the Tekiah of Shvarim Teruah is the longest. The Tekiah of Shvarim is longer than the Tekiah of Teruah. But there's no such thing as a Tekiah that's too long. So what's the problem? So the Taz wants to say that since it's a longer Tekiah, so we don't use it for the next set, which is a somewhat shorter Tekiah. But the Yetzi anyhow, so what's the problem? I do not understand this. Now, it's interesting how there are differing perspectives on a mitzvah. and even the mechanics of the mitzvah. But oid nearly, Rabbi Kamen didn't blow in the Vardik, in the town of the Vardik with Aruch HaShulchan. You'll hear why in a second. Kamen the Koshel at the Okeel, it's called Shloshim Kodesh Behem Shechechon. The Balat Kei have a hard time punching out 30 Kodesh in one shot. Over Hechrach Sheyanuach Tzas, so they gotta catch their breath, rest up in between. Koshem HaMinu gets later, the Nuach Tzas, Bein Tashrat, the Tashat. I presume it means more than just a second or two. They probably made a little bit, they gave the guy a couple of minutes to catch his breath again. It's not right that it should level when they are hefsek, because it's a hefsek. That a way we do it, even if he, you know, takes himself two breaths in between one set and the next, that wouldn't be the hefsek that he's talking about. So apparently he was, they used to make a sizable break, you know, between each pot.
Say that
tefillah,
even though they're not supposed to.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, so he was not. Maybe that's how it came about. Although the Aruch HaShulchan himself also writes against saying that tefillah. But after the Yevet Yotza, even though if there's a Hefzik Yotza, because the Gemara says a surprising thing. Sorry, I feel the Shomer test kias with test shoyis Yotza. Suppose you heard test kias. He goes by the Vasikin Minyan. He puts his ear to the window and he hears a tkiya, and off he goes. Now he goes to some other minyan and he listens to the first shvorm truah, and he goes right, and he comes to another shul, and there by the tkiyah, so he listens to that tkiyah, and each hour he hears one tkiyah, yaitzeh. So be the yevet, even if there is a hefzik, he yaitzeh. This is not the right way to do this, and therefore they didn't allow it to take place. So in other words, it was possible to be yotzi this way by cutting it out, but it wouldn't have been as lechatchila. Therefore, they didn't allow it. There is another twist to all of this, which is the following: Koser Rabino Aramo b'Sivov. You can write all you want about what you're supposed to do, but people do what people do. There was this Tokat Kia Achas Ben Shnei Storm. So he is at the break tkiyah. In other words, the one with the tashrat, he's finishing tashrat, he's going to start tarat. So this guy, he was parsimonious. So he decided, listen, I don't need to blow every, I have a way to save my breath. Vihisna, so he made it tonight. Shehizim in a storm hu anoch on talala, yoyset tkiyah. So, which says, listen, I don't know if tashrat is right or tashrat is right. So whichever one is the right one, this tkiyah is for that one. So, and that's it. And then, so he blew tkiyo, shvorm tru, tkiyo, shvorm tru. Shvorm tkiyo. So he doubled up on the tkiyo. But he specifically said that it should be the part of the set which is the real set. God in heaven knows which is the real one, the Rabbeinu Shalom. So he'll figure it out. So the Ramos Paskin is Yotza, Yotzi. Klomba. Yezesho Amarno, Shein Oilu Lishtayim. So say you can't make one long one, and it should be divided in two. That you can't do. Well, you know, some say if you try that, it doesn't even help for one. Zero b'tokastam. Unless it is kamen shetala l'shnayim. You blew one thing and you want it to be both. But tonight with feirush, klomar the hazeh shonu toikum tashrat tashrat tarat of neasofik, because we don't know the facts. The question is more. V'hishna shetkiyaz utala l'isus seder shuika. That this should be part and parcel of the appropriate seder. The fear then is when one of Shach Yotza, you're undoubtedly a Yotza. Shalo Kivim Bolish Neit Kiyas, he didn't want this to be two Kiyas. It's not only two Kiyas, I need one Kiyas. Which it is? Well, yes, the Rabbeinu Shalom, he knows. Well, Omolo Tiknu Chacham Lechatchil Lekach, why didn't they do this? If they had time in Shebiyani with Sifei, because all the reasons I just mentioned to you. Abolo Hisna, but if the guy actually did this, Masha also, he got away with it. He's Yotza. Bezel with Kiyo Shebein Seder Leseder. And these obviously refers to the ones that go when you go to Tashat, Tashrat, Tashat, to Tashat, Tashat, to Tarat. Well, Oshayach Zeb Tkiyah Shabbat Seder Echad Kamuva. You can't do this, you know, I'll do Tkiyah Shwarm through it, Tkiyah Shwarm through it, Tkiyah Shwarm through it, Tkiyah. Each one of those Shwarm throughs has to have a Tkiyah beforehand and afterwards. So he just messed himself up. So the Aruch HaShulchan says if you actually had specific intention, that it should go, that it's convertible, whichever way they like it in heaven, it's fine by you. You know, I sign on. So then actually it would work. But it's not a lachatchila the thing that we do. Now, it's interesting. There's a pasuk we recite prior to the Tkiya Shofar. All Elokim Bisrua, Hashem Yudkei Vovkei B'kol Shofar. Chazal in more than one place tell us, they lock in on the fact, Elokim is Midas Adin. All Elokim Bisrua, Yudkei Vovkei. Hashem B'kol Shofar. So they say that the function of Tkiya Shofar, it's a mitzvah, it's true, but it has a function to it. That function is that through the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar, we effectuate in Shemayim a change from Midas Adin to Midas Harachah. So that would seem to suggest, that Shofar is for Midas Harachah. However, Rav Yerushan Eivshitz tells us it's not the case. He brings a raya from Ma'id Kotten. I have at least one more raya from Ma'id Kotten. Here it says when they put a person into Chayram, they used to go and blow Shofar. It's for part of putting the Chayram on a person. So it's quite apparent from the Gemara that the Shofar is a chelik of Midas Adin, not a Midas Aracham. So what's the pshat? So the Rav Yerushan Eivshitz says the following. We have another notion. The Gemara says, why do we blow shofar? If we need 30 koilis altogether, so good. So we want to have koilis with the brachas. So we'll blow the koilis with the brachas and dispense with the first 30. What do we need the first 30 for? We got you midarai sam yoytzi with either set. But we want kol shofar with the brachas. Oh good, so we'll just do the ones in the Chazaras HaShatz in Ashkenaz, or in Sfarad, you do it in the Shmon Esrei, in both. And we'll dispense with the ones at the beginning. So Gemara says a very strange thing, Kedela Arbe Vesasot. And that is to confuse the Sot. So the question is, I mean, the Sot doesn't seem to be such a dupe that he's so easy to confuse. And why? He thinks we're Yaitzei already with the first ones, and then he runs away, he doesn't bother us with the second ones. I mean, you know, there's only so long you can get away with a certain trick. You know, you can deceive a guy once.
Yeah,
but the same scene you're going to come to time after time in the same venue and try to run it, it's not going to go. You know, once you can fool a guy, but you know, there's a share. So Rav Yonasan Eivshitz says it stems from the fact that Shofar is really Midas Adin. So how does it effectuate bringing about the Midas HaRachamim? So this is very simple. He said, what happens if a guy comes to court and the prosecutor has an encyclopedia on him, chapter and verse, documents, recordings, whatever, an encyclopedia? There's no way that he's getting away with all of this, you know? Okay, one or two will knock out, but a stack this thick of charges against him. So what does he do? He says, you only have one thing you can do. Right? You plead guilty, and you throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Your Honor, I'm guilty, whatever, I did it for XYZ reasons, I shouldn't have done it, and I put myself in the mercy of the court. He says, at that point, basically, the prosecutor has nothing to say anymore. He can lobby a little, they should give you a bigger einish, but that's it. He can't present this whole case against you, all the charges. You wipe them off in 1 second. So he says, we come and we're makabal adin. With me, that's adin. We're makabal the Rabbeinu Shalom's din. We tell the Rabbeinu Shalom, we did it. What do we want? We're on your mercy. We put ourselves at your mercy. He says, this is what's ma'arve of the sultan. And that's why it works. Because the sultan comes and he says, I have an encyclopedia. And the Rabbeinu Shalom says, we don't need your encyclopedia. We're past that already. So we remove his means of being mekatrik. We put ourselves in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So this is why he says, "So be'etzem shofar is midas adin." But being mekabel upon ourselves the midas adin, that's how we get rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which could really explain a paradox that exists. In what do we say about Zichronus? Shiyala Zichronenu l'fon of the Torah. That's the notion of the Zichronus. What's Zichronus? That we want the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should look kindly upon us. Omar Rabavu. Omar Rabavu. Again, Rabavu. Iskin Rabavu. And Omar Rabavu. The same Rabavu. So, what did Rabavu say? Said the following. Lomot. Omra Bavu, Lomot Taikum B'Shoifu Shal Ayil. Omra Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tikum B'Fonai B'Shoifu Shal Ayil. Kedei She'eskor Lachem HaKedesh Yitzchok Ben Avram. Omai Lo Anir Al Nilechem Kilu Wokatem Atzmechem Lufonai. Just prior to that in the Gemara, we have the famous Chazal. V'om imru l'fonai b'rosh Hashanah malchiyayis zichroinus b'shoifus. Malchiyayis kedei shetamlichuni aleichem zichroinus kedei sheyale zichroinichem l'fonai b'toivu. U'vameh b'shoifu. Through the medium of the shoifu. Let us understand. It's a very difficult chazal. What do you mean? Bameh b'shoifu. Through the shoifu. And the other thing is, that what do we say is zichronus? The Braisa says, k'dei sheyale zichronechem l'fonai l'toivu. That I should look upon you favorably. Sheyale zichronechem l'fonai l'toivu. What do we say in the bracha of zichronus? Ata zoicha. What do we say? The Rabbanu Shel Olam is Shefet Kol Haaretz. So, how does that come to Kedei Sheyale Zichronecham L'fonai L'toivu? We seem to be going down, we say, in the midst of all the judgment, the Rabbanu Shel Olam is Yisko, Lokim, is Noyach, etc. But the whole Ascholo is a very harsh Ascholo of that broch. It's etc. You know, you have the whole book on us. But I think from Rav Yonis and Avshitz we understand this, and that's really about Rebbe Shoifer too. It's how do we get the Ruh, how do we arouse the Rabbeinu Shalom's Rachamim? Is by Kabbalah Samishpat. By placing ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shalom, we say we're in your hands. We need your compassion. There's nothing more. That itself the means that the Kabbalah Samishpat, by which we merit the Rabbeinu Shalom's Rachamim. And that could be as the Pshat. Bameh b'shoifa. Shoifa really has both aspects in it. Shoifa is, which we'll come back to during the course of the Yom and the Ram, Shoifa is Tzuas Melech. That the announcement of the king. It's the herald of the king is the Shoifa. Tzuas Melech. But Shofar is Midas Adin, Zichronus. And through that, through the Shofar, and the Kabbalah Samishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is inherent in Shofar, that's exactly the means that we come to Kedei Sheyale Zichronechem Lefanei L'Toivu. That itself brings forth the Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's very interesting, you know, that it's not exactly in the way we look at it, how we achieve rachamim on Rosh Hashanah. Rachamim on Rosh Hashanah comes through an acknowledgement of the Midas Adin. Rachamim on Yom Kippur is through Midas Rachamim. Yom Kippur is the day of rachamim. But Rosh Hashanah is not the day of Rachman. Rosh Hashanah is the day of Din. That's why we have Alochas, for example. A person is not supposed to say Vidui. We don't have Vidui in Rosh Hashanah for that reason. It's not appropriate to Vidui. We'll end with this. Vidui is a very tricky process. How the Rebbeinu Shlom acts to Avidui is dependent on what the general context of the situation is. A person comes and tells you, listen, Ronnie Schlanger, you know, I know I've worked in under you, you know, in the insurance company for the last 15 years. I got to tell you, listen, I've been embezzling money from the company, straight ahead. And this is how I did it, and whatever, with this kunz and this kunz, so I outsmarted all the independent auditors and whatever, that, you know. But I realize this is not my conscience, but I keep outsmarting them for the next 40 years. My methods are good enough, but it's inconsistent with my conscience. You know, my mother told me it's not the way to live, so I got to come clean. So how do you react to it? Depends. You could react to them by, listen, saying, oh, listen, I'm calling the police right now and put you away, and that's it, you know. And I'm going to testify against you, all the grievous harm you've done to the company, you know. I recommend to the judge that they throw you away, put you in jail, and throw the key away. You sometimes can react compassionately to a person with the same story. Why? Some slight difference in inclination that we have at the moment, which dictates if I respond harshly or with compassion to him. Vidu is the very same thing. Vidu will come and we tell a sordid story before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you know, it's not too pretty. You know, you told me to do this and this and this, and I did that and that. Not a pretty story. So, what reaction does it bring? So, in the context of Midas Adin, it can bring a very harsh reaction. In the context of Midas Arachamim, then we must pala before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that it bring forth the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's compassion, that we acknowledge our shortcomings. Rosh Hashanah is the day of Midas Adin. And Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, Shofar is Din. And it's through Kabbalah Samishpat, through accepting the Din upon ourselves, that we zeichet to Racham. So the Shofar, according to him, is Baneh B'Shofar. The Shofar is Kabbalah Sadin. Through Kabbalah Sadin, Zeichet to the Racham. It is a process. It's that Yom Kippur is direct. Rebbeinu Shel Kel Mol Racham. You know, Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You know, we asked to Kel Rachapayim. I mean, we asked before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you're a compassionate one. Have Racham upon us. Rosh Hashanah is a longer trip until we come to the Midas Racham. Boy says, "Lozanak bench the yar." We'll learn a few minutes. Sorry, Chuvah of tomorrow. I've been Baruch Hashem away at many, many simchas in the last week, but it doesn't stop the clock. Hashanah is getting closer.